scripture lesson is Mark chapter 2, verse 23 through chapter 3, verse 6. You can find it on the visual here, also in the New Testament, page 36, or on the front cover of your bulletin. Pronouncement about the Sabbath. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" The man with a withered hand. Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Question is, how good are you at following Sabbath? Is Sabbath the Sunday, the Lord's Day, a true day of rest for you? Or is it the day when you try to get everything done you couldn't get done in the week? I mean, it's one of the tens, remember the Sabbath. When my horrible daughter was younger, I always knew if I was texting her on the phone, all I had to do was say, "Remember the Alamo," and she would text back, "And keep it holy." Somehow, we had crossed those things, and it just became a thing between us. Remember the Sabbath, remember the Alamo, and keep it holy. But having those little communication things isn't enough. How do we honor Sabbath? Lord, we thank you for this day. It is your gift to us, and it is for our good. Help us to remember that you did say, "Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy," and that you haven't changed your mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, some people couldn't find a smile in a candy store. And we're about to hear a story about a group of men who couldn't find a smile in a candy store. In the first part of this chapter, we hear how Jesus heals a man lowered through the roof, the thatch roof of a house in Capernaum. And the Pharisees complained. At Matthew the tax collector's house, Jesus brings good news to sinners. And the Pharisees picked grain to eat on the Sabbath day. And the Pharisees complained. When a man with a hurt hand approached Jesus, all he did was ask him to stretch out his hand. He didn't do anything else. And the Pharisees complained. You know, the worst example of warping the Sabbath came when Antiochus Epiphanes massacred a group of Jews under the command of Judas Maccabeus. Imagine, you're at war, the enemy is attacking, and you refuse to defend yourself because it is the Sabbath. And then what happens? The Pharisees conspire with the Herodians, whom they hated, to kill Jesus. Now, did you catch the irony? They complain because Jesus' disciples pluck grain on the Sabbath. The Pharisees complain because Jesus heals a man's hand on the Sabbath. But evidently, plotting to kill someone on the Sabbath day was completely permissible. Do good and be helpful, or do evil and plot murder. Can anyone spell hypocrite? Of course, one of the reasons perpetually high on the list of reasons why people don't attend church is that the church is filled with hypocrisy. There is probably enough truth there to make us pause, to examine our own lives, and see what truth lies there. But I'll tell you this, I would rather be a sinner who knows I am a sinner and is doing something about it than to be a sinner who knows I am a sinner and not be doing anything about it. That's why I keep inviting sinners. They make great Christians. It is a good thing, Harry. The rules were almost as ridiculous as some of those that Audrey read. My roommate in seminary, by the way, was from West Virginia. He was a funny guy. You could not travel more than 3,000 feet from your home on the Sabbath. You were not allowed to carry anything heavier than a fig on the Sabbath. You could not carry a needle because you might be tempted to sew something. That's why I don't carry needles on the Sabbath. I don't want to get tempted to start darning socks or something like that. And taking a bath was absolutely forbidden. Why? Get this. Because the water might splash on the floor and clean it. That is legalism run amok. The Jewish leaders of Jesus' day had become focused more on looking good than on doing good. They had lost their way. They had turned faith into a list of rules. They had taken the heart out of God's law. You know, there's a story from pioneer days that I really love about a man making his way. He was going west when he came to the Missouri River. It was winter and ice covered the river from bank to bank, but there was no way for the man to know how thick that ice was. Was it thick enough to hold his weight? He didn't know. If he walked out there too far and he needed to go across all the way, was he going to plunge into icy waters and die? He didn't know. What he did know was people had drowned in that river before for the same reason, going through the ice. But he had no choice. He had to cross that river. So being very careful with every single step, he walked out a little way, a little further, and the stress of what he was doing was driving him crazy. It made his heart pound. So he bent down and he started crawling on his hands and knees, spread out the weight. This was incredibly dangerous, and he knew it. If the ice broke, the water was deadly cold and would kill him. So to spread his weight out even more, he laid out flat on the ice, just on his belly, and started to use his fingers to move forward and his feet pushing against the ice to slide forward inch by inch, sliding across the river, knowing the next inch could be his last. All of a sudden, he heard coming from behind him someone whistling. And he kind of edged his head around to look. And he saw a big man, a farmer, walking across the ice, leading a team of horses, drawing a heavy wooden sleigh full of hay. He was smiling and whistling, and he tipped his hat at the man laying there like this on the ice. Now the timid man stood up, and he brushed himself off, and he managed a sheepish grin. He trusted that farmer who had crossed the ice so many times to know. You see, the Pharisees had crushed the people's faith, slowing them down to a limping walk, down to a fearful crawl. And along comes Jesus, laughing and whistling and filling the Sabbath day and every day with the joy of life. One of the most astonishing words spoken in Scripture is that Jesus came so that we might have joy and that our joy might be complete. Has your faith grown stale, just become a list of rules? Has it withered under the burdens and hardships of life? Maybe your heart is stiff and hard right now. Maybe there's an unwillingness to forgive. Maybe grief has paralyzed you. What these verses tell me is that when we stretch out and give our broken, hurting places to God, we receive gracious and wonderful blessing from the Lord's hand. During our last hymn, I invite you to come forward to the altar rail and, whatever it is, stretch out and give God that part of your life that is hurting you, that is slowing you to a crawl. Ask God for healing, and you will find it. Amen.